Welcome to episode 235 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There should be some links with more information about these elephant things on the show page today. You can find that by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
If I could make a real elephant noise, I would.
I'm not going to do that.
You know,
I've heard it. I'm not sure it's going to work on the mic.
Elephant noise.
You know what's funny? I bumped into an article about... What do you do? You force air into your upper lip, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then squeeze it out to make a make
a cord-like sound yes. of sorts. Yeah.
Apparently, there's a captive elephant in Korea who sticks his trunk up against his upper lip, blows air through it to imitate human words.
Oh no! What are you doing at me?
Ah, flipping Monday, man.
Yeah.
Serenians, not serenes.
Oh, I don't know what we're talking about.
Last week, manatees.
Yeah.
And not the beluga. That's the other big fat mistake. The beluga is a flipping whale.
Did we say beluga? Oh, well, yeah, we did.
I did, over and over again, as one of the serenians.
That sort of makes sense.
Yeah, I thought the beluga was like the Arctic version of a sea cow.
Oh no. Okay.
It turns out the Arctic version of a sea cow is a sea cow. And that particular one went extinct in the 1800s.
Oh,
boy. It is the biggest one of them all. And the only one that really showed behavior that sounded particularly intelligent. But I was looking into it, man. I think I may have written off the Serenians a little prematurely here.
Are they actually smart?
Well. I can't remember which one. I think it's the manatee has prehensile lips.
Hey.
Which seems like a good thing to go for if you're not going to bother with hands.
Mm-hmm.
And being related to elephants, that kind of makes sense. It's like, I move things with my face. I wanted to mention that tropical storm that turned into a big, fat, flippin' hurricane.
Which one? Dorian?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that kind of came and went. It was... pretty big. They kept talking about it being the biggest, but I have somebody I work with. She has family on that side, and I'm like, yeah, it's windy over there. And she's like, you know, every time they talk about the biggest storm, you're just like, yeah, I've heard it.
I was going to ask, you were saying like it got bigger than the state of Florida.
Well, not the storm itself. I use windy.com to look at these things, and it estimates... wind flow and gives little lines to kind of give you an animation. And yeah, that bit was bigger than
so
Florida.
Like all disturbed air.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's like the storm. And then I don't know what you, call that? The storm system?
Sure, I guess. But there was no, it wasn't necessarily clouds where the wind is moving.
Oh, okay. Meanwhile, has Australia and or Oregon sunk into the sea yet?
No. This has been really boring for earthquakes. There's no six-pointers out there at all.
Really?
Although, at least over the last week, there's still activity outside of Oregon, but I think the biggest one was a 5-point
something. I mean, what goes on in, like, I don't know, the Cascades, right? There's got to be tiny ones, right?
Yeah, yeah, little one-pointers. You don't... And if they're less than 1 point, they don't even show up on the map layer I'm using to monitor these things. We still have active volcanoes. If you zoom into them, occasionally, yeah, you'll see little one-pointers of stuff shifting around. But it's nothing that big of a deal.
Hmm. Anyway, back to the Serenians just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the manatee aren't hugely social.
Okay.
And I started to think about this. I'm not sure sociability is really a sign of intelligence so much as something you need so that you can tell.
Oh.
It's like, how are you going to like judge an animal's intelligence? Well, if they are social, then how they compete and cooperate with each other and how they communicate, you got all that going on.
Yeah.
If they're not social, you got none of that. And then we got this other criteria I've been playing, which was like innovative... hunting techniques.
Uh-huh.
Well, that doesn't work with an animal that eats seaweed.
You don't have to bubble feed the seaweed. You don't have to chase it down.
Yep.
Organize groups.
I can't. You see, you know what? You should let me look up more stuff. One of them has tusks, but I can't remember which one.
This is what Mondays are for.
Yeah, good Lord, Monday. So you know what? We're done. We're done. We're done. Dugongs are the ones with the tusks.
Okay.
There's this elephant relative called a hyrax.
Okay.
It's not a very big critter. It's sort of rodent-sized and rodent-like.
Oh yeah, yes, yes. I looked them up. They were cute.
And
ish.
They have teeth that grow continuously throughout their lifetime, but they're not the canines.
Right.
They are the incisors.
So.
The canines, your eye teeth, right?
Oh, okay.
We have, humans have four of them, two on the top and two at the bottom. They're the extra pokey ones. in between the canines,
mm-hmm.
we have the incisors.
Yes, yes.
Basically, your front teeth. We have four on the top and I think four on the bottom.
That's us.
I'm sitting here counting them with my tongue right now. And most mammals, when they go for tusks, will grow out the canines.
Oh, okay.
Walrus. There's my one example. I guess hippos.
Walrus.
But the elephants and their relatives grew out the incisors instead.
Oh.
Oddly, the hyrax has a large percentage of the particular protein in its muscles.
Mm.
It is a protein that, much like a hemoglobin in the blood, holds on to iron and oxygen.
Okay.
But it lives in the muscles instead of in the circulatory system.
Oh, okay.
A large amount of this protein is usually used by marine mammals to hold their breath for a good long time.
Oh.
So there's the hyrax.
Yeah. Able to hold its breath on land.
What? It lives in the Middle East. It has absolutely no reason. So they think maybe somewhere back in the past, it used to be swimming around in the water for a while.
Ah.
Which is interesting evolutionary history. I mean, climb out of the water,
mm-hmm.
become a mammal.
We made it.
Climb back in the water.
What's going on over here?
Then climb back out of the water.
That place sucked. I don't really like seafood.
It may or may not have happened with the elephants as well.
Okay.
I'm getting mixed reports and different theories.
Well, elephants, it's a big topic.
But it's funny. They just recently discovered there's a whole group of animals.
Mm-hmm.
Through molecular evidence.
Okay.
And it's grouping together some animals they didn't know were actually related.
Like, yeah, the hyrax is this tiny little related to
it's
an elephant.
It's worse than that. It's worse than that. There's this thing called the elephant shrew.
Okay.
Which, when it was named, nobody had the slightest idea it was related to elephants whatsoever. Tiny little thing. It does have a long and flexible snout.
Oh, like an elephant.
Kind of like an elephant's trunk, yes. Thus, they called it elephant. It's also small and shrew-like. Thus, they called it shrew, elephant shrew.
Very creative. Okay.
It's a part of this new, they call it a superorder.
Okay.
So, you've got kingdom Animalia,
mm-hmm.
phylum Chordata.
Okay.
Class Mammalia.
Okay.
Order Proboscidea.
Oh, with the nose.
Yes. Okay. And the superordia is Afrothenians.
Hamina? Okay. Good.
Yes, it's a new thing. It's got the elephant shrew in there. It's got the aardvark in there.
Aardvarks are my friends.
There's a whole song, a camp song, that we're not going to break into.
Okay, okay.
They have a flexible nose, aardvarks do.
Yeah.
Which they move with their facial muscles.
Okay.
Which is the same way. And then, you know, you got the manatee with a couple of a bifurcated top lip.
Okay.
It's prehensile. Which they move with their facial muscles. You're going to see a theme here, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you've got the actual elephant. That trunk is an elongated snout and part of the upper lip. And it's moved around with modified facial muscles.
Modified to go down the length of the trunk, I assume.
You already know as much as I do. I read it. It was in a paragraph. I moved on.
Sounds good.
But they are smart.
Yeah.
Elephants are. They do all sorts of intelligent things. The one I was most excited about was the tool use.
Oh?
Yes, I didn't know about this. There had been studies where they had elephants, and they were given a stick, and there was some treat out of trunk range.
Oh, okay.
And the elephants entirely failed to use the stick to get the treat.
Mm-hmm.
Other researchers have redone these, we'll come back to these questions, and approached it a little differently.
Okay.
They took a young elephant.
Okay.
And there were ropes and various treats suspended above the cage. Some were easy to reach, some were not.
Okay.
And instead of a stick, there was a block.
Okay.
So, it took a few days, but eventually the elephant went, aha! Or, you know, whatever the equivalent to that is in elephant speak.
Insert elephant noise.
Okay. Yeah. It pushed over the little block, stood on that, and got the treat.
Ah.
And once he had figured that out, he would use blocks or tractor tires. He'd even stacked several blocks on top of each other when he needed to get especially high up.
Oh, okay.
And, so didn't do so hot with the sticks, but the general idea of tool use was there. And in the wild, they will use sticks to groom and scratch themselves.
Okay.
Or branches with leaves still attached as fly swatters. Okay. Or, and I like this one, sometimes they'll dig a hole to find water, chew up some bark, and then put the wad of chewed bark in the hole as a cork, and then bury it again.
Hey. Ooh.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah.
So they need time to think. It's smart, not especially quick. It's like me.
They do have the largest brain of any terrestrial animal, coming in at about 12 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, one would expect, since they don't seem to be quite as clever as we are, that they probably have a smaller number of neurons.
Oh, you sure?
And they're just big fat neurons.
Uh-huh.
No.
Okay.
They have about 270 billion neurons, as compared to our 86 billion.
What are they doing there?
with all those neurons? Their cerebellum has this is why I have my notes. I have my notes for reasons.
Aha.
Where the hell is it?
My notes are worthless.
Okay, so they got about 257 billion total neurons.
Okay.
They've got about 5 billion in their cerebral cortex.
Okay.
As compared to the 16 billion in the human cerebral cortex.
Okay.
And that might be the difference. But the cerebellum has something like 250 billion neurons. In other mammals, it's usually about 4, maybe 5 neurons in the cerebellum. Mm-hmm. For every neuron in the cerebral cortex.
Okay.
For some reason, for the elephants, it's like 40 times as many neurons.
So their cerebellum is doing a lot of work.
Yeah. And they're poking around. It seems there's a couple of different theories. One is it might have to do with sound.
Okay.
Where they use sound to communicate. The African elephant in particular uses infrasound. Too low for us to hear.
Okay.
To communicate over miles and miles of distance.
That's why they have big ears?
Anyway. I don't know if that is to hear the sounds. You would want a bigger ear to catch a lower frequency.
Yeah.
Or the pinnae of the ear, the outside part.
Flappy.
Yes. That's the other thing. They're a way to lose heat.
Oh, right. I've heard that.
Yes. Where was I?
Something about the cerebellum. No.
We're there. Okay.
Okay.
The other idea is that maybe it's the trunk that requires a whole lot of coordination. In support of this, you have the fact that baby elephants are born without much coordination in their trunk.
It's just this thing. What do I do with this?
Baby elephants, which are ridiculously cute for a 200-pound critter. Their trunk seems to have a mind of its own. It'll flail all over the place. Mm-hmm. They have to learn how to use it.
Ah.
This actually, wondering, if we go all the way back to the cephalopods.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
The octopus.
Uh-huh.
What's it need that big brain for?
Yeah.
And on the other hand, why all those extra neurons in the arms? It's actually got more neurons in its arms than it does in its brain.
That's weird. Yeah, okay.
Well, there's the tentacle of an octopus
mm-hmm.
and the trunk of an elephant
okay.
are similar.
Hey.
It's possible that that kind of appendage is hard to use.
Really useful once you figure it out. But man.
I don't know what made the elephant especially smart. They're a much younger species than I expected.
Okay.
And they show up in about the same time and about the same place as Homo sapiens did. Both of us learning to adapt to this sort of alternate savanna and forest. Both of us ending up with large social groups, complicated communication, and very large brains.
But we win.
All right, so that's elephants. Birds.
Birds, oh. Birds. No, I'm excited.
Anyway, we'll talk about birds and brains next time. See you then.
Bye.